listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it, I'm RJ, and it's a big day. It's Friday, broadcasting live from Las Vegas, 225 FSR stations across this great nation. And one of the reasons it's great, football, it is. If you don't like that, tough. It's one of them. And man, oh man, last night, give the NFL credit. One, when there was a lot of doubt about forging ahead, maybe played a little more conservatively, a little less risk, NFL said, hey, we're trying to acknowledge the risks, but we are moving ahead with our passion and for money. Hey, why not? And I think it's really panned out so far well for them, and the attention they're getting with their schedule release, gigantic. We approach this, though, on Straight Outta Vegas differently. We're fans, yeah, but we want to make money. And gamblers, Vegas guys, they think about the schedule differently. And what we're going to do is spend the hour. It's going to be action-packed. What does Vegas see in this schedule the average fan doesn't? And it really does show our kind of saying about the show, which is sports bettors listen for the money, sports fans listen to no more than their buddy. So if you bet or not, you're going to learn some stuff this hour about how Vegas thinks about the schedule. We got the guy in the NFL, Steve Fezzik. And in Los Angeles, he's my favorite Joe, Jonas Knox.
Yeah, RJ, no doubt we're the Vegas lead here, I'm assuming, on a Friday. And that would be the 2020 schedule released by the NFL. We now have a roadmap to potentially the Super Bowl coming up in February.
Yeah, great roadmap's a great way to say it. I will say I was tempted to announce that I was going to be coaching high school football here in Utah at some point soon. But we will make the Las Vegas lead, the schedule release. But most specifically is the idea that some of the most popular teams, some of the most followed teams are being upgraded and downgraded simply off of the schedule. And obviously, if we didn't know who the teams were playing, the difficulty of the schedule would mean a ton. But we knew who they were going to play. The who was known for a long time. It's the circumstances that really matter. And the circumstances regarding how many road games in a row, how many home games, is there a road Thursday game, how much do they travel, do they play this game that if it's at home they have a chance but on the road they don't, do they play a team that you can beat anywhere at home? You know, why be a 17-point favorite, right? If you can be a 10-point favorite on the road, that's fine. And there's a lot of things like that that add up, especially when they fall one direction or the other, to the advantage or disadvantage of these teams. And to me, the one that has a consensus, and Fez, I'll start with this one, the Ravens. Baltimore, a team in the last quarter of last year, was probably considered the favorite. In fact, objectively, based on the Super Bowl odds, was the favorite to win the Super Bowl. They lost a shocker in the playoffs. Is that a sign of a flaw? Is that a sign of, hey, it was a bad game, but man, it looks juicy good for Baltimore?
It sure does, RJ. And start out with the travel. Baltimore Ravens, least travel in the NFL, just 6,300 miles. And also,
all right, well, so let's put that into context, right? So 6,300 miles, I understand generally what, you know, I know coming from Vegas to Ohio, from Ohio, was 2,000 miles. So you're saying, okay, back and back and back, three legs of that for the whole year. That doesn't seem so bad. Jonas, I saw in your notes, you had a great stat about how low this 6,000 miles really is.
Yeah, it's the fewest by any team over the last four seasons.
So of every team all playing eight road games, no one has had to travel less than Baltimore.
Nobody.
Obviously advantageous. I also would make the point, and Fez, you made it, that the whole time change thing matters when you go to a, especially if you travel a ton to the West Coast from the East, but and from the West to the East also can be a struggle. But just only having to change your time zone once, another advantage.
Yeah, it's a great point. And the only time they have to change it is week two at Houston. They're basically banking half their miles in their only time change game. It's all over with by week two, all the other games in the Eastern time zone.
All right, so right off the go, one factor of many advantage Baltimore for the lack of travel, for not having to have to travel as much as Jonas said, the least of any team in four seasons. All right, Fez, another reason it was a good Baltimore schedule.
Bye weeks. Baltimore does not have to play one team all year long coming off their bye week. And think about that. Baltimore is a premium team. Everyone gets up to play. You give a team a bye week before playing Baltimore. Wow, that's a bad situation for Baltimore. And they don't face that bad situation, RJ, all year long.
Now, I'm going to go over the top on you here. I think Baltimore is probably the team in the entire NFL. Of all teams, Baltimore is number one in that the opponent would benefit from a bye. Why do you think so? I'll give you a chance.
I think that's a great point because they run that quirky, you know, RPO offense, and people need extra time to stop Lamar Jackson or to try to figure out how to stop him.
Yeah, whatever chance you have, if you have a bye and you're able, you know, we see this or we used to more in colleges when they had the option teams. So the theory was if you had a bye week before an option team and you didn't play a lot of option teams or any, you had a better chance to prepare. So to me, the quirkiest offense in the NFL is Baltimore. Thus, the opponent desires, craves, could benefit from prep time more than any other. And Baltimore has zero times that the opponent gets the benefit of that bye. There's another team in the NFL that actually has three opponents, if you can believe it, that have byes. We're going to break that down and a little bit more about the bye because a lot of people think, oh, the bye is just good, which it generally is, but it's much better in certain situations, not just team specific, right, which matters with Baltimore, but I mean generally home road, there's a difference and it's a big one and actually is not a good thing for Tampa Bay. But we'll talk about that. I'm RJ Bell straight out of Vegas. We got Fezzik and Jonas. I tell you, Jonas has some good insights today. We'll be going to him, not just from the fans' perspective, but from the experts' perspective, though he won't bet me still in the NFL. I'm trying to see if somehow I can get him to. All right, Fez. So far we're saying lack of buys for the opponents of Baltimore, lack of travel that Baltimore has to endure. What else?
I like Baltimore's bye week 8. I like a bye right there in the middle of the season. Don't like it too early. Don't like it too late. Like it right where Baltimore's bye is, RJ.
I think you're in the minority there. I think everyone agrees the bye at the beginning of the year is horrible, because you're not really beat up yet. You don't need to rest so bad. But I would say in general, most teams I listen to, and again, this is just observational, I'd say at least 2/3 of the way through the bye possibilities where they like it, I think, teams a little more towards the back end because you get more fatigued, right? So I agree that middle is better than the beginning, but you're saying if you could have a bye week 11 or you could have a bye week 8, you would actually prefer week 8.
Yeah, I'd actually prefer week 8, but you bring up a good point. Maybe week 9 or 10 is optimal.
Yeah, and so let's just say this. If it's a halfway point or later, it's not a negative, whereas those early, early buys are a real positive. Or, I'm sorry, they are a real negative. I'm RJ Bo straight out of Vegas. So anything else on Baltimore?
One more, RJ, and I haven't heard anyone else talk about this. The fact that Baltimore gets to host Kansas City, I think this is huge. Now, we knew about this already. But think about this. There's two premium teams in the AFC.
Well, we didn't know that they were going to host them.
I think we knew who was going to be the host.
No. Why would you?
Okay.
I mean, let's be clear. You don't know generally in the NFL. Now, if it was somehow released through a leak, I don't know. But who was home and home, who was road was not known.
All right. So the bottom line is, only one team gets a bye in the AFC and the NFC this year. It is huge for Baltimore to get the home game against Kansas City because that game basically counts as a game and a half with tie breaks as well. So because they got the homer against Kansas City, they win that game. They're fast tracked to be the number one seed AFC.
So what you're saying is these are two teams, Kansas City and Baltimore, that you feel, and I think most people feel, will be competing for the number one seed. Number one seed's even more important than it used to be because it's the only one with a bye, right?
Yes.
Okay. So now the theory is whoever wins this game is going to have a huge edge on the number one seed, and thus Baltimore being at home means they have about a 6-point advantage compared to if they were on the road, and thus a much better chance to win this game that could have extra weight because of not only the, you know, you want to win every game, but specifically competing for the number one seed.
Exactly. And once you look at these top two teams in the AFC, who's really your third best team? You're going to make the Steelers probably? It's a big drop.
Yeah, if Big Ben can, if they can cart him onto the field, perhaps. Jonas, am I correct on that? I'm almost certain. In fact, I'd make a major bet. They don't know where the games are going to be. They just know who they're going to play.
No, they know who the home and away opponents are, but they don't know the exact schedule.
Oh, okay. So what you're saying is the home and away opponents are known, but they. I tell you, I did not think that was the. I'm going to look at it, but you seem confident.
Yeah, okay. No, the home and away opponents were known, you know, months ago, but they just didn't know where they were going to be slotted. So they knew who they were going to play at home. That way the teams will release it. These are all the teams coming to visit us this year. This is where we're traveling
to. But this wasn't right after, because they know the minute that the regular season's over, effectively who they're going to play next year. So you're saying at some point between then and now, that's when that was announced.
Yeah, they'll release the opponents. They'll release the opponents for next season, I think before the season ends, if I'm not mistaken. And then afterwards, they'll tell you which ones are home, which ones are away.
Okay, that's interesting. So again, guys, this, I think, honestly, is one of the things that's important to realize. No matter how much you work, and again, I work pretty hard, but it's not as if I'm, you know, going to the grave working. So we all are working, and the reality is sometimes something slips by you. Sometimes you make a mistake, and to embrace that reality and try to learn and move quickly through it is so much better. And to me, when I hear a guy who's an expert say, you know, I don't know that answer, that makes me feel so confident because, well, one, assuming he does know a lot of answers because he's admitting it. The guy that never tells you when he's not sure about something, you got to be worried, because how can you really trust when he's sure and when he's not? So not a great thing that I made that mistake, but it's the only way you can go about it, I think, and keep growing. So thank you, Jonas and Fez. Let's do this. I am very anxious for this next topic. So let's take our break. And when we come back, Colin Cowherd and Jonas are on one side when it comes to Tampa Bay, and they're together on this. And Fezzik is on the other. How tough is Tampa's schedule? There's a disagreement. We'll get to it.
That's coming up next. First Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast, to get in the zone. AutoZone, he's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will get into one of the hottest topics in the NFL all offseason.
And it's also Colin Cowherd and Jonas against Fezzik. They rarely teamed up. This could be special. Though Colin doesn't know it exactly. Great day to join us, breaking down the NFL schedule from a Vegas perspective. What do the Vegas guys do? And we have a best bet coming up from Fezzik. It's first of the NFL season. Great day to join. This is the fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio. We have more than doubled our audience in the last year alone. And you are a big part of that. Thank you so much. Right here. Oh, by the way, on the weekends, we had a lot of stuff without the games going. Obviously, almost everything we talk about is, it doesn't go stale, right? If you talked about it on Wednesday, it's still interesting on Saturday. So if you haven't heard every minute of every show, just search for Straight Out of Vegas on podcast or RJ Bell, your favorite player. And there you go, Straight Out of Vegas. Now in Vegas on the Strip, 94 degrees. And the neon is still off, and I am being very impatient about that, Jonas.
Well, RJ, you know, one of the games that we did talk about yesterday here on Straight Out of Vegas, it was rumored and reported on well before the schedule release, was the week one matchup for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as they would travel to New Orleans to take on the Saints.
Okay, so we had an opening line on that, and we felt like, man, it shows Tampa's dominance. Fez, Steve Fezzik, NFL expert, what is the current number on that New Orleans-Tampa game?
New Orleans -5, RJ.
All right, so it hasn't really moved. So the theory is home field is, what, 2.5 or 3 for New Orleans? Well, I that's interesting. So one of the things you've been talking about is we're uncertain, as everyone is, about how many of the games are going to be played in front of no fans, some fans, and typically full fans, and some teams are more affected by that than others. The teams that have a great home crowd, New Orleans is one, Seattle's another, for example, they'd be affected a lot. The teams that don't have a good home crowd, Chargers a good example, maybe Jacksonville's a good example, they actually are affected less. So, one, what would you make the home field for New Orleans if there's no fans?
2.
So you're now that I think is plain wrong. So you're saying New Orleans has the same home field as anyone else without – like everyone's the same without fans.
I really think so, RJ.
So the fact that Green Bay, for example, a big chunk of their home field advantage is the slickness of the grass. Somehow the no fans there is going to affect them.
I misspoke. Green Bay is the one exception to the rule.
Oh, now let me maybe offer another exception. Could it be that New Orleans, because of the dome, because of the fast track – And any real stadium that has a surface, like Pittsburgh has a very slow track, that has to mean something. It has to mean something more than just a generic place with the same turf as anyone else. You don't think so?
I just think there's so many teams play. There's so many domed teams now, RJ. I don't know if it's that, if that's a significant edge.
But it's, I mean, well, first of all, you say there's so many, but how many games is a guy playing a dome in a year, a quarterback, that when you don't play for a dome? Unless you have a that team in your division, the over-under is what, 2?
I think it's higher than that. I don't know the answer.
Well, there is no answer, right? I mean, it matters what team we're talking about. But how many dome stadiums are there, right? Like six or seven?
Vegas, Minnesota, Atlanta.
Well, for
New
Vegas,
Orleans,
yeah, they haven't played there yet. I mean, yeah, he's going to lead with the one. The lifetime games, 0. But that's the one we're going to lead with. So, I mean, just mathematically, it's far less than 1 in 3, or it's right around 1 in 3 or a little bit less, right? So
yes.
your average is going to be out of 8 road games. It just feels like that to say you're going into the Superdome or going into any given dome and that's just like any other place except for the crowd noise. I don't know, Jonas, does that feel right to you?
No, I think domes are an advantage. If you go to like the NFC South, 3 of those, or let me think about this. Yeah, you would get, okay, so 2 teams in the NFC South. If you go around the NFL, there's at least one team in each one off the top of my head outside of the AFC North to where there's a dome. So there's a dome in pretty much every division that you look.
So we got 10 dome stadiums of the 32 right now.
All right, so prior to this, it was not. And again, let's be clear. Are we talking retractable roofs that sometimes are closed and sometimes are open?
Yes.
Okay, so that's important too, because those tend to stay open unless there's a reason not to.
Yes.
And they also have grass oftentimes on those fields because they're able to open it up and get the sunshine. So, listen, it's some minutia. I believe that some of these surfaces and stadiums mean something other than home field, though obviously the crowd is a big part of it. So, in general, Fez, you're just saying, hey, typically 3 points for home field. We're going to cut it to 2 because we aren't sure about the crowd.
Yes.
Okay. And does that feel like what the market did?
That is what the market did, RJ. So the market is pretty much assuming that there's a really good chance, a likely chance, that there's not going to be any appreciable fans in the stadiums week one.
Okay, and there really isn't a ton of odds out yet for the future events because it's going to be games. Because it'll be interesting to see in a week 12 matchup what they're given for home field. Because whatever the chance is of fans in week one, it seems to go up as the season progresses, right?
That's a great point, because I'd say there's like a 20% chance of fans in September. I think it's more than 50% by December, right?
That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. I'm not sure, but I agree the direction is in that direction for sure. So here's the disagreement. Tampa Bay, a team that had a lot of a lot of people got confused about how many primetime games Tampa had. Tampa has 5 primetime games, and they're all in this, like, this cluster. And remember, NBC can do the swap out, the flex, as they call it, so there could be even more. Tampa's getting a lot of attention, and rightfully so with Tom Brady, right? How else would it wouldn't make sense if they didn't? But Fezzik, you actually believe, and we're going to let Jonas go first because Colin felt the same thing. So sitting in for Colin, debating the point, is Colin and Jonas felt like Tampa had an easy schedule. And Fez, you're going to go against that, but Jonas, you start.
Yeah, I think they got some breaks. New Orleans week one, we've talked about it. There may not be a crowd there, and if a crowd is that much of an advantage, I think that would be a benefit to Tom Brady and a brand new offense, not having to talk over a loud Superdome like that in New Orleans. The fact that their communication will be a little bit better on the offensive line, I think, benefits them. Denver in week three, there's been the discussion. When you go to Denver in the first 2 weeks of the season, it's really an issue for a lot of teams on the road. It buys them an extra week to have to go to Denver out there. They get Chicago, normally a cold weather place later in the year. They get them on Thursday Night Football, but they get them in week five. They get the Raiders and Giants in back-to-back primetime games, but there's no short week. So you don't have to worry about having to come back 4 days later.
Is that Thursday to Thursday then?
Yeah, Thursday to Thursday.
They're playing two straight Thursdays.
Yeah, so there's, and I'll double check on that as well too. But you also got the Rams at home. That's on Monday Night Football, and then you get the Chiefs at home late. Their bye week is in week 13 in December, and then they have no outdoor games in December. The only two road games that they have in December are Atlanta and Detroit, both in the dome, and that benefits an aging quarterback.
So the idea of Kansas City late in the year, why is that an advantage?
But let me just get back here real quick. So Kansas City late in the season, I'm saying Kansas City, you get them at home as opposed to having to go on the road.
Yeah, so this is the theory, and I agree with this in general, which is if you're a competitive team, if you're a team competing for the playoffs, if not the Super Bowl, and Tampa is competitive, no doubt, with Brady, that's the expectation, is you'd rather play the crappy teams on the road, because you're going to be a big favorite anyway. You'd rather play your most competitive games at home, because let's just say, and I think it's fair to say, Kansas City is what, Fez, 2.5-3 points better than Tampa?
More than that, 5 points better.
All right, so let's say 5. Now, if the game's in Tampa, and home field for Tampa hasn't been great historically, but let's just say 3 to keep it simple for a second, that means Kansas City's only a 2-point favorite. This is almost a coin flip game. But if the game is in Kansas City, they're going to be favored by 8. That's a tough game to win for Tampa. So when you have a competitive – now, listen, if you're playing in a division, you're going to play one road, one home. But amongst the non-division games, having the better teams you play, if you're a competitive team, being at home is advantageous. So, Fez, you agree with that concept specifically?
Yes.
And just to clarify, yes, and sorry to interrupt, but the back-to-back primetime games, the Sunday night game is at the Raiders, and the next game in primetime is Monday night, so they actually have an extra day of rest going into Monday night on the road at the Giants.
Okay, so typically if you went road on primetime games, that would be a real negative. You get an extra day, especially off the late Sunday, not so bad. Though that feels like a small one, but noteworthy. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. That was Jonas Knox saying Tampa got some real breaks. Fezzik, the professional bettor, says, nah, I think net negative for Tampa. Go.
Let's start with the game at Denver. Jonas was mentioning what a break that Tampa Bay got. Denver's really tough early in the year, and they got to play him week 3 instead of week 1. Well, Jonas, they could have played at Denver week 11. That would have been a break. Playing in week 3, that's still in September. Denver, great in September. Going back to 1989, Denver is 50-11 straight up in September home games. That's not a break to have to
remember
play
now,
week 3.
Remember now, let's be specific because he mumbled over the key. These are home games. Home games. And the theory is, and it makes a ton of sense, the theory is in altitude, how in shape you are matters more than not in altitude. And that especially in a COVID-19 type season, the chance of being in great shape in September isn't great. Though historically, even with normal off seasons, 50-11, right? Is that the numbers, Fez? Straight
yes.
up. And if you look at Denver's actual, let's put research on this. What was Denver's record at home in games other than September during that same era? And what we'll see is this 800 or so winning percentage versus my guess is right around a 600 winning percentage. Just so much better at home in September. I agree in a small way with Jonas. Week three is better than week one or two, but the history tells us that any of the first 4 weeks is a negative playing in Denver. That's, I think, net negative Tampa Bay. Continue, Fez.
Let's talk week five at Chicago. Yeah, it's great that you get to go to Chicago before the snowstorms and the Arctic tundra kick in, but that's a Thursday night game. So as you know, RJ, you hate traveling on the road when you play a Thursday night game. So having to play week five Thursday at Chicago, that's a pretty good travel as well. That's a very bad spot.
So when you say
spot.
Pretty good travel, we're talking about the distance, right?
Yes, the distance you have to travel in a short week. So big advantage Chicago, even though the game is week five.
And in general, you're playing a Thursday game regardless. First week's Thursday game is the best because you have the whole offseason to get, prepared for the travel. Other than that, home is so much better than road. So really, Tampa had a 50-50 chance or so to have that Thursday game at home. They went, or it went on the road, which is a real negative for them. Every road game's a negative. Road games on Thursday, even more so. Anything else from your side, Fez?
Yeah, staying at the early half of the schedule, all I'm hearing, the narrative, it's so easy. Tampa's schedule's so easy. Well, week six, they play Green Bay, and week seven, they play at Vegas. Both those teams, RJ, are coming off byes before the game. That is disadvantageous for Tampa Bay.
Okay, this is a perfect time to talk byes because they're not all created equal. And so, Fez, does that finish up Tampa? You got some good stuff there. Anything else?
Just the bye for Tampa where it is. So you're on the right track.
Oh, thanks so much. So Jonas, now here's the thing, chocolate vanilla. If there weren't disagreements, there wouldn't be debates. So, and I know you didn't say, everything was advantageous, but what did Fez say that swayed you the most? Like, wow, that is really negative.
Well, the only thing that I would say that isn't, and I wasn't trying to make the point that it was a big break, but it is worth noting, was the Denver in week three as opposed to week two. I'd love to see what Denver's home record, if you split, first couple of weeks as opposed to last couple of weeks in September, is like, because I do feel like teams get in better shape as the season goes on, and that difference of week could make a big difference.
Well, why don't we do this? It's like Jonas is a real batter now. He's saying he's having researched. He's saying, give me some research on this, pregame.com research department. So this is what we'll do. For Monday, we'll break it down. We'll have week one, two, three, and four, and week five. Obviously, the break point of non-September games was there for a reason, right? It does start to dissipate, and we'll break it down for you. That would be interesting.
Perfect.
But generally, if you're playing at Denver, and that was known before, there's only a 1-4 chance that game's going to be in September. Right. So it did go against them, the luck side of it would seem on that one. Let's quickly talk about byes because they're very important. Listen, all teams get one and it's advantageous. So there's no advantages there necessarily. Now we can talk about what point of the year, but those are smaller advantages or disadvantages. But how many teams do you play against that have a bye coming into your game? That's very important. Now, the worst by far, bad luck, Minnesota. They play three teams off a bye. Three teams off a bye. Man, oh, man. And no other team in the NFL does that. But all byes are not created equal. The Vikings, two of those games of the three, are at home versus road teams off a bye. Now, that is the toughest. And let me explain what I mean by it. And there's a couple other teams that have two of these games, too. So a road team off a bye covers the spread 56% of the time. That's since 2000. 180 and 144 and five pushes. So there's a lot of games there, over 300 games, 56% against the spread. The spread is the great equalizer. It's supposed to be this is the right number. If all you had done was play road teams off a bye this century, you'd hit more than a professional batter hits, 56%. Now, you might say, RJ, what about straight up? I care about winning games. Okay, typical NFL teams on the road win 43% of their games. If a team is off a bye, 48%. So 5% extra chance to win a game for the road team if they're off a bye. So if you play two of these, like this handful of teams do, two home games against road teams off a bye, you have about a 5% chance in each of those games, 5% less of a chance to win. So Fez, net, if we aggregate it, a team like the Vikings that have to face this twice, they actually lose about a tenth of a win, right? 1/20th of a win each of the games. So on the course of a season, if their odds, everything else was equal, was over under 9 games to win, it'd be 8.9 after the schedule.
Yes.
You agree with that?
I do. So, and that's about 10 extra cents of vigorous if in terms of what you should lay when you're betting.
Yeah. So, for example, if Minnesota was minus 9, minus 110, let's say over under, and now all of a sudden it's disadvantageous, the fact they have two games against road teams that are off a bye, you would say, okay, now you might be willing to lay even money instead of minus 110. It's about a dime's adjustment is what you're
exactly.
saying.
Exactly.
And yeah. And that's what we're doing here. We're trying to add up a lot of these little small edges. Here's are the other teams that have two games against road teams that have a bye. The Bengals, bad. And, boy, this drama, Green Bay Packers. So the Pack actually have it's going to be fascinating because Jonas – and we'll talk about this, but you actually think Green Bay is front-loaded, and it looks like they got a pretty tough start of the season. And, man, I find that interesting because with all the drama, potentially with Rodgers and Love, if they start slow, Green Bay, it is going to be a story and a half. So we'll talk about that.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
And coming up in about 10 minutes from now here on Straight Outta Vegas, we will have a best bet, believe it or not, a best bet in the NFL. We want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day store pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job. Fast, get in the zone, AutoZone. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Let's do this. Last break. We'll take it now so we have a nice full segment at the end. We do have Fezzik's best bet, which is outstanding. We also do want to talk about Green Bay and the observations of a couple other teams that either have big disadvantages or advantages entering the season.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted, and it's money-making time next year on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. And
all right,
RJ...
Jonas. Ho. I get to be Jonas now. I'm going to ask you the question. All right, ready?
Yeah.
Well, we're back, everybody. I'm a professional announcer. And let's ask the expert here, Jonas Knox. Expert when it comes to the NFL. Green Bay, interesting schedule. What's your take?
I think they got it rough. Early bye week, so they get a bye week in week 5. They get the Vikings on the road and the Saints on the road in the first 3 weeks. We know the statistics. Teams that start out poor end up usually having a tough time down the stretch. They also have to go on the road against Tampa Bay, the Houston Texans. They get the 49ers, who were a nightmare matchup for them last week, on the road again, but this time on a Thursday game, so that's a short week. Then they're on the road against Indianapolis. I think Green Bay's got a tough one.
All right, so just to be clear, when it comes to, hey, you're playing a division team on the road, obviously you're going to play at home too, but you're saying the front-loaded part of the schedule for Green Bay is particularly tough. Now, what week is that New Orleans game?
The New Orleans game, let me double-check.
Week three.
Okay. Yeah. Because, Fez, this is interesting, and I forgot about it when we were talking earlier. New Orleans has a shocking, I mean, it's almost like you can't believe bad record the first 2 weeks of the year. So
yes, Ian.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah, it's a great point. I'm thinking about, you know, Fitzmagic going crazy on them. So you want to play New Orleans the first 2 weeks.
Well, I mean, again, I believe, and maybe we can look it up real quick, and Mackenzie can pass you the note, is I think they've won two of the last 12. I mean, it's some variation of the last six seasons.
1-11 against the spread the last 6 years, the first 2 weeks.
All right, but it straight up is what? Because to me, that spread, if you're not a gambler, you think, well, they probably have them favored by 19. And now that I remember, Houston had that comeback late. So maybe it's something like three, and we'll get the number. But it's, I mean, if you look at the rest of the year for the Saints, it's been outstanding relative to the first 2 weeks. And they've known about, this has been discussed now for a couple years, and they seem not to be able to do anything about it. Did you have the updated number?
I do not. It's just coming in. Here it is. 2-10 straight up first 2 weeks, last 6 years.
Now think about that. A team that's made playoff after playoff, they're 2-10. The Saints are straight up the first 2 weeks of the year. Now, Green Bay plays in week three, but boy, that makes that Tampa look pretty interesting, plus +5. But boy, I don't want Brady. I mean, as good as Tampa will be, whatever it is, I think they'll be better in week eight than they are in week one. There's so many changes on that team. I think whoever wins between the Saints and Tampa, I'm looking to play against them in week two. Because if it's the Saints, they're still in that first 2 week funk in theory based on the last 6 years. And if it's Tampa, it means they probably won because of some of that funk, and thus everyone's going to be on the Brady bandwagon. I think we got a week two bet. You know how the NFL schedule can predict years ahead? We can predict we'll be looking to fade the winner in week two, Tampa, New Orleans. What do you think, Fez?
I love it because we want to fade both teams early, and they're playing each other. Someone's got to win. I think it's very sound.
And RJ, just to point out, and you guys talk about 2-10 New Orleans to start off the year at New Orleans. That's straight up. That includes last year's Monday Night Thriller, where it took a 58-yard field goal from Will Lutz. Otherwise, they would have been 1-11, and that was with the time expiring against Houston.
Yeah, and that was a great game. But yeah, that was a coin flip, no doubt. So your general point to finish up the Green Bay is the idea that all wins are not created equal, all losses, because if a team starts to lose early, especially if they're a team with a lot of pressure on them or question marks, it becomes a compounding effect, right? It just starts to go south.
Yeah, and I also think they are the perfect example of a team that got a lot of breaks the season before. It was the Raiders a couple of years ago. Then it was the Bears the year before last, that I think takes a step back this year, and the schedule doesn't help.
That's Jonas Knox. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Now, we finally have a new pick coming up. Best bet. We're going to have more best bets in week one for next week. We get to an early one, Steve Fezzik.
Rams +3, going to have to lay -120, hosting the Dallas Cowboys here. So I'm shocked by this line, RJ. I could not believe it was so high. And I think the reason that this line came three is because there's an expectation, hey, the Rams are opening up their new stadium and the Cowboy fans are going to take it over. Well, I don't think there's going to be very many fans at all in this stadium. So I certainly don't see the Cowboys having the edge in terms of crowd noise.
So what you're saying is, let's be clear, we're saying Dallas is on the road here and Dallas is favored by three. Right?
Yes.
Okay, so you're saying, wow, even without home crowds, whatever, the Rams are down, Dallas isn't that much better. Because if this game were in Dallas, you're saying the line would be right, Dallas over a touchdown, right?
Exactly, and it just seems way too high to me. And also, there's a lot of talk, hey, one of the home field advantages, hey, you know the sight lines, you played there a lot, and the Rams won't have played in their new stadium. But as it turns out, the Rams play three of their four preseason games in SoFi Stadium, so they'll be used to all these sight lines advantage. Rams, I like the Rams +3 on Sunday, week one.
All right, I like that too, because I think as much as the Rams, I'm pessimistic about them when it comes to the next couple of years, how many games will they win? I mean, this is a team other than Gurley that is not all that different than a team that was very competitive last year, that was a Super Bowl favorite early in the year, and they made the Super Bowl the year before. I know things change in the NFL. I just think this is more, people are reacting more about the general franchises prospects over the long term than the reality on the field in week one. Keeping the cornerback from Jacksonville, Ramsey, yeah, maybe that wasn't a good trade for two first rounders, but they've got him now and he'll be on the field. So I agree. You get my endorsement, Fez. I'll double up. Give me Rams plus +3 hosting Dallas.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are Straight out of Vegas back on Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. And as always, you can find the show on the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas!